Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35, and I'll just be reading a couple of verses here, beginning with verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Dear friends in Christ, we all certainly hope and pray that everyone had a very Merry Christmas. And we must admit that soon the trees, the Christmas trees and the Christmas decorations will soon be coming down. It won't be long. But does that really mean that Christmas will be over? The Christmas carols will once again be put away for another year. But does that really mean that the Christmas spirit will be gone? Christ the Savior is born. But does he not continue to be born in your heart, in your soul, through his word and through his sacraments to be everything that we need to be saved? He wasn't born only for Mary and Joseph. He wasn't born only inside of Mary. He is also born in your heart, in your soul, and he continues to send his Spirit into your heart to grant you the peace of sins forgiven, the peace that even goes beyond human understanding, that which gives us the assurance of everlasting life. So we confess that Christmas is not over. It lasts as Christ himself is alive and continues to be with us and in us by his word and sacrament. Where is Christ today? Christ is where his word is. That means that when his word dwells in our heart, so does Christ. He once promised the disciples and us, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And he said that as he sent his disciples out to do what? To preach his word. To teach his word. Even though he is now ascended into heaven, we still have his word. And incidentally, when he ascended into heaven, that's also when he sent his Spirit, God's Spirit. So we have his Spirit too, who works through the Word in our hearts, in our souls, to be everything that we need to be saved. He doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves. He continues to be with us in his word. Simeon got to hold the baby Jesus in his arms before departing in peace. And we might be thinking, well, what in the world does that have to do with us? Perhaps some of us are not old and elderly like he is, or he was. But actually, his story is also yours and mine. Whether we are young or old or somewhere in between, his life is also yours and mine, the life of every single Christian, because God called on Simeon to believe in what he could not see. For many years, even decades, God's word was all that this man had. To wait on God's promise was all that he could do. Isn't that also your life and mine? We don't always have a perfect answer for everything. We don't always have everything figured out in our life. We don't always have a perfect understanding of why things are happening to us the way they are. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And we often wonder why. We don't know all the details of God's plan for us. But by God's grace, we can always know and understand that the Savior of the world, the whole world, is born. And He is all that we need to be saved. We certainly cannot see Him with our eyes. We cannot see His forgiveness, His miracle of salvation happening to us. We can't measure it in a lab. We can't see the miracle of baptism or the miracle of the Lord's Supper happening. Even Simeon, who got to hold the baby Jesus in his arms, all he had then too was God's word alone. Because Jesus did not look like God. He did not look like the Son of God. He did not glow like some pictures depict him. The Bible says he has no form or comeliness that we should desire him. We are just like Simeon. All we have is God's word. And he promises, believe, and you'll never be let down. Believe, and you will be saved. That is the true faith. Believing in what we cannot see, in what we cannot measure in a lab. That's why faith is so special. We can't buy it. We can't sell it. We can't see it. We can't hold it in our hand. We can't measure it in a lab. We can't give it to someone. We can't have it for someone else so that someone else can be saved through our faith. We can't look into someone else's heart and see the true faith. All we can do is believe. All we have is God's word that Jesus Christ is our Savior. The only one who had a perfect, sinless birth so that He might take our sins away. The Father promises us He will never let us down. Because Christ is that rock that never moves. He's always remaining faithful and sure. He's that rock solid foundation. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him will not be confounded or let down. It was revealed to Simeon that he would not see death till he had seen Christ. So he had to wait on God's word. That's our life. That's our story. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Another psalm says, my soul waits on the Lord all the day long. It's been almost 2,000 years since Christ ascended into heaven, and he says, he promises he is coming back to take us to heaven. He promised that he prepared a place for us in heaven by going to the cross, by suffering for all our sin, by making satisfaction for all our sin before God. But before he comes back, we must wait. In the meantime, we find ourselves in situations where it's not so easy to wait. To cling to what we can't see. when everyone else seems to be having the time of their life and forsaking the Christian faith and even making fun of those who believe. But God's word and promise is all that we need. He promises he that believes in Christ will not be confounded or let down. Simeon talks about Christ being set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. That's you and me. That's you and me. In our heart and soul, there is a fall and a rising again as we die to sin. And as we are raised again to new life in Christ through the gift of faith in Christ. We were born in sin. Every day we sin in thought, word, and deed. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But Christ was born without sin to be everything that we need to be saved from our sin. Through baptism, through His Word, He grants us a new birth, a brand new life in the forgiveness of our sin. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the miracle of the birth of Christ for us, as He was born and conceived by the miracle of God's Spirit. He's also born in you, in your heart and soul, by the miracle of God's Spirit, by His Word, through which His Spirit works in your heart and gives you the miracle of faith. Jesus says we must be born again. That happens when He enters our heart and gives us the true saving faith, when He forgives us of all our sin. That's our second birth, because Christ is the second Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. By His Spirit, He enables us to turn from our sin, our spiritual pride that says, "Well, I don't need you, God. I'll take whatever earthly treasure you want to give me, but when it comes to hearing your word and confessing your name and putting aside all my earthly things and priorities for a time in order to hear you, no thanks, God. I'll go my own way." That's why we must be born again. We must have our sins forgiven. We must have our spiritual pride taken away, which thinks I can do it all on my own. That's only possible through Christ, the Savior, born without sin, who's also born in your heart by His Word, by His Spirit. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's what the name Simeon actually means. Simeon means one who hears. That is you and me. Friends in Christ, we are those who hear the Word of God. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." But we must ask the question, well, what is His voice? What does He say above all else? He says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation," Simeon says, "which He has prepared before the face of all people. No matter who we are, no matter how dark our past has been, Jesus is born for all. He lived and died and rose again for all. That means it's for you and for me. We may not have a perfect understanding or a perfect faith. In fact, no one does. The disciples did not. But we can know and understand that Jesus is born for all, which means He is born for you and me. We too hold Him in our arms. He is near us, even in our heart, by His word and sacrament, saying, "All things are now ready. Simply come and receive. Believe. And you will find rest unto your soul." We too, therefore, may depart in peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, we have everything that we need. We never have to fear what's going to happen to us after this life is over, because Christ makes us acceptable to the Father, completely fit for eternal life with Him. We depart in peace knowing that God is at peace with us. For Christ has made perfect peace between God and man, overcoming everything that stood in between us and God by going to the cross, making satisfaction for all our sins. Whoever believes in Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. May we then depart in peace according to the word of Christ. In His name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.